The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Apostle Paul is teaching the Philippians to rejoice all the time. Now, this is extremely important that we recognize what Paul is saying here. He's saying, rejoice in the Lord in every situation. No matter what is happening in your life, you must rejoice in the Lord. This is not an easy thing to do all the time. It's not easy when you go through difficult situations in your life. It's not easy when you have the enemy doing something or tearing you down. It's not easy to experience a difficulty, whatever that difficulty is in your individual life, and rejoice in the midst of that difficulty. You know, many of you have gone through some very difficult things that I know about. And I know it wasn't easy to rejoice. But you know what? Just the fact that you continue serving God tells me that you rejoice in the Lord. Because that's basically where we're at in our faith, is staying on track with God. Rejoicing, saying, God, I know this didn't turn out or didn't look like it's going to turn out the way I wanted to, but I'm going to rejoice in you. I'm going to stay firm with you. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to believe you. Trusting you all the time. Rejoice in the Lord always, all the time, in every situation. The dictionary of biblical language, this word rejoice means to be glad, be delighted. Now, how can we be delighted all the time in the Lord? Well, I believe it's a matter of our attitude and understanding what the Bible teaches us. First, let's define attitude. Attitude is a feeling or a way of thinking that affects a person's behavior. Now, I think every one of us is pretty clear on the fact that the way you feel many times translates into the way you behave. Right? Okay? If you're feeling bad about yourself or about a situation, sometimes you don't always treat other people the way you should. It's easier to become angry with your spouse or mistreat your children or kick the dog or whatever. However you translate that in your life, it comes out in your behavior, right? Yeah. And sometimes we'd be better off, you know, instead of coming in and yelling at our spouse, we'd be better off if we just went out back and kicked the dog to begin with, get it out of our system. But instead, we go in and pick on everybody. Now, I guess I'm speaking for myself. That's usually the way I handle things. However, I know what the Word of God says. And that's why I have to keep coming back to it. I have to keep reminding myself. I have to keep living by the Bible and by the Word of God. And sometimes I fail. I fall short. Sometimes you fail and you fall short. However, as we heard this morning, we know that this is very true, that God has a new beginning for you every day. His mercies are new every morning, every day. Yes, we have to repent. We can't just go about and do whatever we want to do and act any way we want to act. However, when we fall short, we can repent. We do have an advocate, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that gets us back on track. So we can get back and begin rejoicing. But I got to tell you, a lot of Christians are like the little girl that I heard about who said she liked Santa Claus a lot more than she liked Jesus because you just had to be good one day for Santa Claus. Jesus expects every day. Isn't that the church? You know, we sometimes treat Jesus like Santa Claus. You know, we're just waiting for him to pour out all these gifts on us, no matter how naughty we've been. But yet, the Word is extremely clear that our behavior as Christians is tied to the blessings that God pours out upon us when we live. Now, that has nothing to do with our salvation. We're completely clear on the fact that when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's the blood of Jesus. However, He expects obedient children. He wants us to walk in His blessings. He desires that, and He can pour that out upon His people who are obedient to His word and walk according to His ways, so that we can be a witness to everyone else that we come in contact with. Jesus truly is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. John Maxwell says this about attitude. He said, "A dream without a positive attitude produces a dreamer. A positive attitude with a dream produces a pleasant person who can't progress. But a dream together with a positive attitude produces a person with unlimited possibilities and potential. Whatever you ask in prayer believing, you shall receive." Unlimited potential. So, you know, we've all heard someone say, "Man, that guy has attitude." And normally, we put that in the context of a negative attitude. They mean that he has an inappropriate attitude, and his thinking has caused inappropriate behavior. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it says this, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." So as we have inside of us, Jesus told us that the mouth speaks out of the abundance of the heart. So whatever's in our heart is going to come rolling out at one time or another in our life. And the heart is the inner self, the essence of life, including the thinking, the feeling, the will, and our desires. What you really think, sometimes you can hide for a period of time. But I do know this, that what I really think about a situation, that if I'm put under pressure, it comes rolling out. It's sort of like a boiling pot, you know? If you leave a pot with something in it and you let it boil, what's going to happen? It's going to come out, isn't it? It's going to go all over the place. And some of us, that's what we do. We store this stuff up inside of us. We let it build up and build up and build up until we blow up. And then we get all this sticky, ooey, gooey, nasty stuff all over everybody in sight. Right? And it hurts people. It hurts us. And God wants us to live above that. He wants us to learn to rejoice in every situation and have the right attitude before we get to that point. So that we're not hurting people. We're not hurting one another. So that we're building up our spouse, our children. My goodness. You don't have to spend very much time in public till you see people that are just destroying their children. By the things they say to them. The way they speak to them. And granted, most of the time, the things that are happening, the children need something. They need some kind of discipline in their life. I'll say that. But yelling at them is not going to be the answer. You know, derogatory speech toward them is not going to help them. What that's going to do is tear them down, beat them up. What is going to happen is for God's people to realize that there is discipline in the body of Christ, and there should be discipline in the body of Christ. We in the church should be setting the example for the kind of discipline that is appropriate for our children. And our children should be setting the example for the way they should behave in public. This is not a popular message, I realize that. And I don't mean that they're not going to act out. They're kids. I took Marshall and Owen to, Mom and I took them to Lowe's with us the other day. And man, those little guys are active and they love to pick on each other and they were all over the place. Here and there and everywhere. And I had to go grab those boys, put them in front of me and say, "Now boys, you know what's going to happen if you keep acting this way. And yeah, you know, they were right on board with me for 5 seconds. You know, kids are going to act out. There's no doubt about that. But how are we going to shape and mold their attitude about life? A lot of that has to do with our attitude about life. What do we feel? What do we know? What do we understand from the Word of God? I believe the only way that we can rejoice always is to have a godly attitude about every situation. Always rejoice. Well, Paul gives us several steps that I want to share with you this morning. In verse 5, it says this: "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." Now, first of all, he's saying, I want you to be gentle. And the reason you're going to be gentle is because the Lord's very close. Now, if the Lord was very close almost 2,000 years ago, he's a lot closer now, his return. So when the Bible commands us to do something, we need to keep in mind that we are doing this because the Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to he's going to split the eastern sky, and he's going to come to this earth, and he's going to require of us to give account for all of our deeds and all the things we've done and said. So first of all, he says, be gentle. Be have a fair mind, mild, considerate. It suggests a non-retaliatory spirit. It suggests that you don't have the attitude that you're going to retaliate against someone else. A gentle spirit. I'm not talking about a person who is to the point where they just let people run over top of them. I'm talking about someone who understands who they are in Christ and is able to be gentle and kind. Jesus was a gentle spirit. But he also told the Pharisees what he thought of them. Snakes and vipers and whitewashed tombs. He didn't hold back. He was a strong man, full of the power of God, willing to speak the truth when the truth needed to be spoken to people, to change their lives. But he also was very, very gentle and very kind. Problem with us in the body of Christ today, it seems like, is that the first thing we think of when somebody offends us is to retaliate. You hurt me, so I'm going to hurt you. That's not the spirit of the Lord. Believe me, I know that you'd like to think, well, God told me this. But it's coming from a totally different area. Amen. Look, you don't have to look very far in our society and see this happening. People who say they're Christians, I'm not going to judge whether they are or not, but I'll tell you their behavior doesn't line up with the Word of God. The things that I see, and you know, I'm not on the social media, but Tammy's on Facebook, and I've heard all kinds of things about Facebook, email, texting, Twitter. It seems like that people are saying, you know, that they're just airing their dirty laundry out in front of everybody. When somebody says something about them, they go on one of these social medias and tell everybody what's going on. And try to retaliate about toward the other person. This, you know, what Twitter. I've never been on Twitter. Is it? It's just sort of like texting, basically the same thing, similar. Similar but not, evidently. I've heard people saying that, you know, that they were going to twit. When I was a teenager, being a twit wasn't a very good thing. Times certainly have changed. But people interact with one another, and often, you know, when we do, we're going to be offended. The attitude has to be that we're not going to allow ourselves to be offended. You see, this self-centered attitude is destroying our society, and it's in stark contrast to what Jesus taught. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Now, I got to tell you, before we read this, this is not my most popular passage in the Bible. This is one of those passages, if I was able to, I would take it out. Because I really don't like it much. But it's important. Verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, and bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. Wow. Like I said, I don't like that scripture much. I would rather not have to live according to that standard. It's a lot more fun than when you have an enemy to do some harm to them. To try to get back at them. To look for your opportunity. It's a lot more fulfilling. You guys think I'm crazy, don't you? Yes, to your flesh, it feels good when you get that person back. You know, when we're watching a movie, and we all watch these kind of movies where the good guy, the bad guy does something to the good guy, and when the good guy gets him back, that makes us feel good, doesn't it? But it's unbiblical. That's not right. We got to live according to the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us to love our enemies. To bless them. And pray for them when they curse us. Glory be to God. You can't do that except with the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Otherwise, you will succumb to the desire to retaliate. You have to allow that gentle spirit that is inside of you, the Holy Spirit, to have dominion and power. He has to be your resource. You have to run to Him when you feel, because you're going to feel those times when you want to retaliate, when you want to do harm to those who are doing evil to you. It's natural. It's a part of who we are as people. So let's read the rest of it. To him who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. These are heavy words. Don't fight back. Even if they take something that belongs to you. Not only allow them to have it, but give them more. I don't like that. It hurts to think that that's the way I have to conduct my life. However, I want to please my God. And I want to be a believer in Jesus Christ that is a true believer who walks according to the Word of God. Therefore, I must apply this to every area of my life. You know where it has to begin? In my family. Because I want to tell you something. If you can't do this with your family, if you want to retaliate against your spouse or your children or someone closer than that in your family, you got big problems, because there's going to be people out there who treat you a lot worse than they do. When I say things that I shouldn't to my wife, she uses the Word of God against me. Proverbs, it says that a soft answer turns away wrath. And that's what she does. She says, a soft answer turns away wrath. I hate that. But what am I to do? You know, I can't answer that. I just have to walk away. I have to get out of there. Because there's no answer to that. It's true. It's absolutely right. I'm supposed to be living according to the Word of God. So she uses it against me. She's a mean and nasty woman. Hallelujah. But it's real, isn't it?
Right.
Amen. Amen. Well, I have my scripture that I use against her too, so don't feel so too bad for me. God is a good God, and His Word is real, it's true, and if we will live by it, our families will be better off, our community will be better off, our world will be better off.
That's right.
But we have to apply that word to our life. Walk in gentleness. Have a gentle spirit. Understand the will and the power of God. Remember, we're talking about Paul giving some steps to the Philippians of how to rejoice always. And the first one was be gentle. Go back now to Philippians. In verse 6, it says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Anxious, to be troubled with cares, to care for, look out for, to seek to promote one's interest. Be anxious about worry, have anxiety, be concerned. This is a big problem in our society. Anxiety over all kinds of things. Anxiety is it's to the level of where just about everyone in our society has to deal with some kind of overly being stressed and anxiety in their life. And I believe that it's something that we have to deal with. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is speaking to us, and He's talking about worry and anxiety. And He says this, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is it not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Jesus is making it pretty clear that we shouldn't be so worried about the things of this world. And yet, we live in an extreme materialistic world. Everywhere you look, commercials, billboards, magazines, they're all advertising something that you need. That's what they tell you. You need this. You either need it or you deserve it. One or the other. And they appeal to our fleshly desire to have things. And if we're not careful, we will get caught up in things. Things of this world, desiring things, chasing after things. And these things will overtake us and destroy our life. Now, I'm not telling you can't have things. I believe God prospers His people, and He wants you to handle your finances and handle your lifestyle according to the way you're prospered, and use it. But recognize using it for the kingdom is your ultimate goal. No matter what it is that He gives you, no matter what it is He allows you to have. but anxiety over these things, which is becoming a huge problem for many people, is destroying people's lives. Now let's turn over to Matthew chapter 13. Verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Now, of course, Jesus told this parable to the people, and the disciples are asking him, explain this to us. So that's what he's doing. But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately received it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. I'm going to stop right there because that's what I'm talking about. We're talking about being worried, having anxiety about the things of this world or the things that we feel like we need. Anxiety chokes out the word of God. And if we're not careful, we'll be a believer in Jesus Christ, but we let all these thorns and these thistles and all these things grow up in our life, and it chokes out the power of the word of God in our life. Anxiety is a huge problem in our society. Now, anxiety is a normal reaction to stressful situation. You know, it's built in by our God. However, anxiety disorders have become a huge, huge problem. God has created mankind in such a way that we have to rely on His Spirit, or we will be overcome. Allow the cares of this world and the desires of this world to overtake us. Scientists have discovered that through research, the different parts of the brain. And one of the parts of the amygdala is an almond-shaped structure used that's deep down in the brain. And it's believed to be the central area that it is used as the communication hub in the brain. It sends out sensory signals and receives input from different parts of the brain. It can alert the rest of the brain that there's a threat, and it triggers our response to those threats. One of the things that they believe is that the memories, the emotional memories that are stored in the central part of the amygdala may play a role in enhanced anxiety. There's another part of the brain. Hippocampus is the part of the brain that encodes threatening events into memories. So the one part receives it and sends it to the other part, and it's recorded. It's just like a tape recorder. Or it's more like a computer, where it comes in and is being transmitted to another part to be stored. Dr. Carolyn Leaf, who's a Christian and a communication pathologist, she's authored many books, and she spent 25 years researching the brain. She says the brain's thoughts create your mood. Now, we all believe that, understand that. So when you encounter a fear-based emotion, you feel depressed, or your thoughts will be characterized by negative thoughts. A negative thought is linked to the emotional turmoil, and it will be implanted not only in your brain, but you feel it emotionally, you feel it in your body. And I believe the enemy has taken what God created to be good, and he's caused it to be evil. He has caused it to be used in a way that it's satanic. It's a satanic attack to keep God's people from being fruitful. Because anxiety can be that thing that chokes you out and keeps you from being fruitful in the kingdom of God. You all probably know people that suffer from anxiety, different levels of anxiety. Some people get to the point where they can't even leave their home. You know? I'm not condemning anybody. I'm saying this is a satanic attack. And I believe that satanic attack can be countered by the power of God and the Word of God. By supernatural experience. Amen. Nikki shared this morning a supernatural experience that took place that set her free. But there's more to it than that. I want you to understand. Just because you get free doesn't mean you stay free unless you understand how to stay free. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." I believe that's one way we stay free. We have to seek first the kingdom of God. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says this, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity in the obedience to the obedience of Christ." Now, please listen to me this morning, because I'm talking to you as somebody who experiences anxiety over life. And I'm sure that every one of you in here have experienced times of great anxiety. I experience anxiety over being the pastor of Bethel Worship Center. And if I allow it, it would overtake me. I experience the anxiety sometimes of the family situations that we all encounter. If we let it, it will overtake us. The anxiety of life itself. God has called his people to rise up and to live on a higher level than allowing anxiety to overtake us. The only way that we can keep that from happening is to seek the kingdom of God and capture every thought. You have to capture your thoughts. Joshua 1:8 says this, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. You may observe to do according to all that is written in. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success." This brings us to the final step that Paul teaches to be able to rejoice in every situation. And I've already mentioned it. First, go back to Philippians with me. Verse 8 and 9. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard, saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Control your thoughts. Think on good things. Remember, Joshua said, meditate on the word. And if you meditate on the word, you'll have good success. Now, Paul is telling us, meditate on the word. Meditate on good things. Think on good things. Don't allow bad things to overcome you. Here, this is part of what Dr. Leaf is trying to teach the body of Christ, is that you do have some control over the things in your thoughts, over your thought life and your thought process. You can learn to control those things, and you can learn to think properly according to the Word of God. Listen to what the psalmist says about the Word of God and how powerful it is. "For the Word of the Lord is right, and all His words are done in truth. Your Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Now, I might add, settled here on earth as well. It's settled. Depends on whether we accept it and walk in it. "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Direct my steps by your word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me." Iniquity is an interesting word. Now, sometimes we just lump all sin into one category. But the reality is that the Bible teaches different levels of sin. To sin and repent of that sin is one thing. there's forgiveness. But when you start talking about iniquitous sin is a sin that has overtaken you and controls your life. Iniquity is more than just a sin where you miss the mark. Iniquity is sin that has become a lifestyle. And you continue in it. That's why the psalmist said, don't let iniquity have dominion over me, because it takes dominion in your life. It begins to rule you. It can be stopped. But the best thing is not to allow it to happen in the first place. Put a stop to it before it ever gets to that place. Begin to control your thoughts and control your life. Begin to allow and apply the Word of God to your life. According to Dr. Leaf, memories look like trees in your brain. And they know this because they have done great studies. They use modern technology, scans, to be able to see it. And they look like trees. And bad thoughts look like thorn trees, thorn bushes or trees. Good thoughts look like healthy, beautiful trees. So there's even something physiologically that takes place in the brain that is battling between good and evil. When we allow the negative memories to rule our life, we're allowing the negative and the evil that the enemy wants to instill and place in our life. Researchers at Northwestern University in Illinois have been studying the human brain. And they believe that the human beings... Now listen, this is profound. Profound for the world, I guess. They believe that human beings are hardwired for sin. We already knew that, didn't we? They're not telling us anything. Actually, I believe what happened was... there was a glitch in the computer. It was a virus that was placed there by the evil one when Adam and Eve fell in the garden. When they took that initial act of rebellion against God and ate the fruit that He told them not to, they were implanted with a virus, and it caused mankind to be hardwired for sin. It's part of who we are. Now that is not, I'm not giving you an excuse to go about sinning. That's not what it is. But the reality is, that's who we are, and that's how we're going to react to this life, is that there's going to be a certain amount of desire to sin. The question is, are we going to give in to those desires or not? Are we going to fight them off? Are we going to believe the Word of God? Are we going to trust in the Word of God? Stand on the Word of God. Yeah. See, that's where it's at. Yeah. Trusting our God. Because every one of us is going to be confronted on a daily basis to make a choice. Are we going to go with a hard wire? Or are we going to go with the Spirit that is inside of us, that has renewed us? It's a choice. And the truth is, it's whatever we feed. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We have the ability to overcome. We have the ability not to allow the thoughts to overtake us, the evil thoughts, the negative thoughts. We have been given the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. And believe me, He can renew your mind. He wants to. However, He needs some help from you. He needs you to recognize that your prayer life is very important. And that you're studying the Word and meditating. Remember, Joshua said, meditate in the Word, and then you'll have good success. He needs you to meditate on the Word of God and trust in the Word of God. You need to feed your spirit the good, the positive things, and overcome the negative. You can put an end to the negative thoughts by capturing them, but then you have to build good, positive thoughts. good things in your life? What are you feeding it? I know I've told the story about the Eskimo that had two dogs, and he took them around in Alaska many years ago, and they fought one another, and people would bet on them. One time, the white dog would win, the next time the black dog would win, so people didn't know which one was going to win. The guy always went away with a bundle of money. Finally, after many years, somebody finally asked him, "How is it that you know which dog is going to win the fight?" He said, "It's easy. For a week before they fight, I feed the one I want to win, not the other one." Whatever you feed in your life, what are you feeding? Are you feeding the negative thoughts? Are you feeding the sin nature that is about you? Or are you feeding the Holy Spirit that wants to build you up and encourage you and lead you in His direction? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Stand with me. I'm going to give you some techniques as we wrap this up. This comes from Dr. Leaf. And I believe it's techniques that we can use to rejoice always. Technique one is look at your negative thought like a thorn tree. If you're having negative thoughts, just imagine it as a thorn tree, because that's the way it appears in your brain. And just imagine reaching in there and plucking that thing up by the roots. Just throw it down and get rid of it. Then number two, be consciously aware of the thoughts that you allow in. Don't allow anything negative to dominate your thinking. Listen, we all have to deal with this. You've had things happen to you in your life, and all of a sudden you're just, you know, happened years ago, and you're just going through life, and all of a sudden that thing just flashes back in your mind. A negative thing you said, a negative happening, something. That's the enemy trying to destroy you, trying to keep you from being fruitful. God wants you to capture that thought. Pluck it up by the roots. Cast it out. Take control of it. Recognize what's happening in your life. Recognize it's been there for a long time and it's time for it to be removed. Technique number three. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you use your free will to make wise decisions and establish new thought patterns. Picture that thought as a good, healthy tree. Technique number four. Now, from this point on, build good, healthy thoughts. Think on these things, the good things. Whatever's a good report, think on them. I can tell you this, that when we trust in the Word of God, what God has really told us, we know that we're delivered by the blood of the Lamb. We're not questioning our salvation. What we're looking at is our behavior. As believers, are we following the Word of God? Are we living according to the will of God? If you love me, you will keep my commandments, Jesus said. Walk in those things. The blood, the Lamb has won. I love the story about when the Berlin Wall came down. There was a sign that was put in a church in Czechoslovakia. It merely said this: the Lamb wins. The Lamb wins. I can tell you this, the Lamb does win. Hallelujah. And we're His children. You know, actually, according to the Word, we're His brothers and sisters. We're the children of the Most High God. And if the Lamb is going to win, we win. You win. You're a winner. I don't care what the enemy has tried to tell you. You win. You can rise above. You're the head and not the tail. And we refuse to allow the enemy to have control over the thought process of God's people. We will live by His Word. And we will walk in it every day of our life.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I'm excited about sharing this message with you today. Our goal here at Bethel Worship Center is to use this tool to equip believers to walk in the abundant life Jesus promised. If you'd like to know more about the ministry or have a prayer request, please visit our website at bethelwc.org. Have a blessed day.